Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's bet.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian, and we have some changes to announce. It's a new era at ESPN in the sports betting world. First and foremost, we have a new voice, but it's a familiar voice, but a new voice to this podcast, sort of. What is that voice?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Daniel Dopp, TV's Daniel Dopp.
Oh, please.
Is now producing the podcast, co-hosting it, whatever you want to call it, because he's a star. So I'm going to ride his coattails. But obviously those who have listened to this podcast for quite some time know that he was a regular host, podcast contributor, whatever you want to call it, producer of this podcast back in the Chad Millman days. And then he went and became famous with Matthew Berry in the fantasy world. And we're lucky that they're sharing him with us.
I'm lucky to be here. I'm actually excited to be able, this gives me something fun to be able to do during the off season, and I can get smart from you. You know what I'm saying? I'm hearing things that you're a pretty smart guy, Doug. So.
Well, we've done pretty well.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And I am an aggregator of information. So we have good guests who provide a lot of insight into the betting space and made some people some money. Last week we had Matt Eumanns on, had two easy winners in college basketball on Saturday, Utah State, and then Tennessee in the rematch with Kentucky. Mr. Director John Murray, who will be coming up later on the podcast, was unavailable last week, but I was able to share his UFC pick from the Westgate behind the counter, Usman winner. So we've done pretty well, Dopp.
That's what I like to hear. It's all about making some money, Doug.
It really is. And speaking of which, like I said, it's a new era at ESPN. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have seen the release and the news. But starting next week on Monday, a new betting show on the ESPN platform.
Stop it. Who is going to be hosting that betting show, Doug Kazarian?
I will be the lead host. And I was trying to downplay that, so maybe that sounded more official. So I will be hosting. I will be driving the conversation. But ton of people will be on the podcast, including The Bear and Stanford Steve, and I said podcast, the show. And we have a lot of guys. David Purdom, who does a fantastic job for ESPN.com, covering the entire space, just a worker bee. So he'll be contributing as well. Anita Marks, Andre Snellings, who you might know from ESPN.com as well. Anita does a lot of stuff on our airwaves, both radio and TV. And we have some guys that we're bringing in, from one guy from Vegas, Preston Johnson, who we've had on this podcast. I had him on the NBA pod recently with Aaron Renning. So Preston will be here. Joe Fortenbaugh, who I've been a guest on his podcast in the Bay Area. He does a great job. Jordan Schultz, who does some picks for us on .com, both college and NBA. Like today we have the NBA picks column out with Jordan, myself, and then also Andre Snelling. So we do that every Wednesday. So a lot of voices in the betting space. And basically, Dobb, if I could, you know, what the show is today, because it's been changing so much, and it's going to continue to change once we launch. But
sure.
I will say it is SportsCenter feel more than any other show. It's a lot of driven by news, storylines, betting trends, all that stuff, and then opinion. But we have opinion on SportsCenter, let's not forget. So instead of bringing on like McShay, Teddy Bruschi, Tim, like all those people, we're going to bring on bettors with their opinions. And I think that's the most effective way to present sort of a show on air in TV or on air on radio. And just, you want a collaboration of opinions, right? Is that sort of the fantasy approach as well?
100%. I mean, there's multiple different approaches that people take. Some people like, you know, one style, some people like another style, but understanding that you're able to have all of that information to be able to find an easy and unique way to be able to deliver it to people. And then some opinions from people that are trusted and that you respect within the industry. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Like, we taped a full show yesterday, right? We did a whole, like, simulated, let's start at 6 and do, that was the first time we did a full show. We've done some segments and some half shows. And by the end of the show, I was able to take Wake Forest plus the points.
Nice.
Plus 24.5, because the line had come down by the time we ended the show.
Yep.
And I took first half as well, and they nearly won the game, right? They were down one at half and down one at the end of the game. And it was because of the information I received throughout the course of the show. So going into the show, I wasn't on Wake. Heard opinions of a few of the guys who were all, like, two of the guys were definitely on Wake. I loved the analysis. Now, I didn't blindly follow anyone, and I did not blindly follow one person all week or one, you know, bet all show or, you know, like any of that. You just kind of like listen, and you use your own judgment, but it's good to get people's opinions
totally
in this space and also insight. Like the handicap was, and I had forgotten about it, Duke always struggles. It's kind of flat the game before North Carolina. It's sort of a flat spot, a look-ahead spot, especially if you have a bad opponent. So, you know, we were all expecting like an 11-point win for Duke, and they nearly lost the game.
Yeah.
But it's without Zion, too. And they're just, they're focused. We saw it a week ago with Ole Miss nearly beating Tennessee. Tennessee was all about the look-ahead spot to Kentucky because the revenge, they had it circled on their, after getting blown out in Lexington. So these are just handicapping sort of tricks of the trade. I just forgot. I've heard of that, that one handy, that's an automatic play to fade Duke the game before North Carolina and vice versa as well with UNC. But I just kind of like overlooked it because I'm so busy with my daily job, which happens to be gambling. But most people listen to the podcast are not in broadcasting of gambling content. They're usually a lawyer, whatever you want to call it. So it's good to get that. And it's also the presentation. I mean, you guys do a great job on the fantasy show with humor and information and puppets and you shirtless and whatever. Like, it's about presentation. You guys entertain a lot. And there's a lot of different ways to entertain. If you think about all the SportsCenter anchors over the years, whether it be current ones like Van Pelt, Levy, Bucci, Linda Cohn, Kenny Mayne, and then the back in the day, Stuart Scott, Bob Lee, Chris Berman. So everyone has a different style, but the all-encompassing umbrella is entertainment.
100%.
And you can entertain with information, entertain with stimulation, like opinion or just wow stats, and then humor. So you guys do it all. We're going to try to do that as well. Again, going to feel like SportsCenter, the presentation of the material with video, graphics, our stats and information group are going to play a huge role in this. And the nice thing is our entire production team has SportsCenter, Countdown, Baseball Tonight background.
Yeah. The best kind of entertainment I have always felt is the kind that makes you money when you're done watching it. And so I think this is going to be good entertainment. But if I did want to watch this show, Doug, what channel am I finding it on? And what time will I be watching it?
Details, right. Okay, so 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, so weekdays, on ESPN News.
Five-day-a-week show.
Correct. Daily Wager is the name of the show, and obviously the ESPN app as well. We've had some really good questions about, is it going to be downloadable on podcast form? Because a lot of the shows are like PTI and some others. I need to get an answer for that. I don't have that answer, but I would imagine no to start, but I'll get back to you on that, and I'm sure you'll see it on Twitter. But look, it's you know, the press release went out on Friday, and it was a lot of cool like reaction. And I know the PR team only had me in studio during like dry runs and rehearsals. So, but we have a ton of people on the show, and it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And there'll be some growing pains, no doubt, right? As you know from your experience, 100%. Bob, is that something can be great in the workshop when you workshop an idea. Oh, that's definitely, and then you kind of try it, and it just doesn't work.
Yep.
Maybe it works on radio. Maybe it works in print, but not broadcast TV. And then there'll be some ideas that come off of that, like a derivative kind of content.
Yep.
And so the show is going to evolve. It's not going to look amazing day one. It's not going to look bad. I already can tell it looks pretty good. Like, yesterday's show was like arable, and it was a lot of fun. And we had a bunch of winners. And actually, I was my best bet was the only one that lost for the entire show.
That's so good.
Which may or may happen the day before as well. So Monday, Tuesday. But as we say, you know, hey, everybody's 0-0 until next week.
That's right.
No, and it's frustrating, and I've talked about it on the show, because so much of gambling is managing your bankroll, how much you want to bet on a single play. You know, your win-loss record is, you can have a losing record and be a winning gambler, right? You can just press on a big game, or even your best bets record, like, it's all about your unit size.
Yeah.
You may go really big. Like, I love the Nuggets tonight, me and probably the rest of the world, just because the Lakers have been so bad. I got 5.5. It's up to 6 at the time of this taping, but I mean, I just think it's a strong play, maybe set up a middle. And that's the other thing, managing your bankroll hedges. So it's going to be probably frustrating. Like, I think if I had to guess, I'm going to have a win-loss record that's going to be, well, I shouldn't say below 500, because on SportsCenter, I went 28-12 in college football season, which is 70%.
That's pretty good.
That will never be repeated again. But I think the coin flip games went my way, but I'm sure I had other losses that were not on my record. I just got lucky.
Sure.
So it's going to be stressful because, Dop, as you probably know, we're a little bit of the spotlight here at ESPN.
Yep.
And I imagine there's going to be some screen grabs on some funny websites that are going to laugh at some of our – like if someone had the Warriors -7 last night and they lose by a million.
Right.
It's probably going to be a funny screen grab. Actually, in the tapings, like a couple guys were on the Celtics and the first quarter Celtics. So it was actually a sharp show.
Yeah.
Which will never air. But it's going to be – look, you take the bad with the good, right? You take the spotlight because it's going to be a lot of fun. But I hope people realize – I don't want to say work in progress because that suggests it's going to be bad, but it's going to, we're going to aim for the stars and we're not going to get there day one.
Absolutely. This is one of the things, just to pull back the curtain, like when you are launching a show and you are trying to find stuff, a lot of times you'll try something, you'll find out whether it did or didn't work. If it did work, great, we're going to keep doing it. We love how that turned out. If it didn't work, it's okay, was that just bad execution? Is there a better way to be able to do it? Or is that idea just not what we maybe thought it was? And so there's a little bit of growing pains where you do as much as you can before the show launches, but part of it is you're figuring out along the way. You're finding out what feels good. You hit your stride. Everything feels great. And the truth is, it's similar to fantasy. You're making the best educated decision that you can without having a guarantee that something is going to happen. And so that's part,
right.
You having the record that you had is incredible. You made really great educated decisions based on what's going on. Are you going to be able to do that every single time? No, but you know what?
70% is ridiculous.
Yes, but you know what? You're ridiculous, Doug.
Well, but to your point, and I think people should know this about TV, it's like, well, the oversimplification of this would be like, well, why don't you start a month out or 2 months out, work out the kinks? But so much of it can sometimes hinge on the day's news.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say at 5:59 in basketball season, a head coach retires. There's no way to workshop that in rehearsals.
Nope.
Because there's going to be stuff that is correlated to the sports calendar. There's unless we practice for a year, right? There's going to be stuff inherent in football that works really well that we never could have workshopped ahead of time.
Yeah.
In March or February.
Totally.
And then also just something that crazy, like what's going on with the LeBron and the Lakers. Maybe we get a segment that is so about, like, we have some funny segments that we're kicking around story ideas, but like maybe just something comes about something that we never would have anticipated, like LeBron, the Lakers missing the play. You know what I'm saying? Like something
100%.
That just is going to happen through life and experience and sports calendar that there's just no way you could practice ahead of time for.
Right. There are some things that it's going to happen and you're going to have to react to it and there is no good way. I mean, the other part is, and I know this may come across as boring, but like it's hard to be able to get a full crew to get in there to practice all these things. There's so many moving parts when you're trying to be able to launch a show like this. It is a very heavy lift to be able to do that. And so
we stole them from other shows.
Yes. There are other people. You stole them from my show, actually. Yeah. You took two of our coordinating producers to go work on your show, which we will have words about after we're done with this podcast, by the way. But no, it's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait to see it launch. Tell me the date one more time, date and time.
This Monday, so March 11th.
Monday, March 11th.
6 to 7 Eastern, so 3 to 4, basically right before tip-off and the game starts. So the games typically start, although championship week will have daytime games.
Sure.
But basically games start, the night of games starts at 7, and then at 7:30, 8 o'clock, obviously the rest of the night. So we want to go right up until games start from 6 to 7. And we're going to have some DFS, right?
Yep.
And so like lineup changes, we're going to have a lot of roster alerts with late scratches, especially in the NBA, right? There's so many guys that are late scratches, sometimes for tanking teams, sometimes for just load management, things like that. So we're going to be on top of all that. So we're going to be really prioritizing news. And then the context from that news is where we're going to weigh in. So my job as a host is sort of drive the conversation. My anchoring pass will obviously help to traffic cop, stick and move with a lot of the news elements and then drive the conversation. But I obviously am immersed in the betting space, and it's an opportunity for me to provide analysis, but not be the only voice, right? There's a lot of other people who are credible as well, and we're all going to have that conversation. And that's my job. We're working out the kinks, finding my balance in that.
They're credible, but you're incredible, Doug.
I don't know about that. But I like that. Let's run with that. That's the new open, Dop. No, and I think that's interesting, right? So you have a lot of people, and there's no real parallel to another show we have. I mean, we've kicked around ideas. Is it radio and Mike and Mike? Is it, The Jump? Is it Get Up? Is it Solo Sports Center like Van Pelt? Like, I don't think it's that sort
steal
of
the good things from all
dominant,
those shows,
right,
to create your own thing.
Yeah, this is not going to be a show like SVP. Like, he is one man leading everything. Like, we're going to be much more collaborative, and we have an awesome team. So it's, even the Matthew Berry fantasy show, right? That you're a sidekick on. And a mole on.
Yep.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
But like, it's not even that, because it's got puppets and we have so many more people.
Yep.
And the people are going to be just as credible as I am, whereas the puppets in this case, maybe not the
maybe
fantasy analyst that Matthew Berry is. So it is, it's just going to be a one-of-a-kind show.
Yep.
And might change a lot in 2 weeks. Maybe not just a little, maybe a lot. Who knows?
Yep.
Maybe I'm not good at it.
I'm sure you'll be good at it. I'm sure. I'm going to set my DVR for Daily Wager Monday, March 11th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN News.
How long's your show?
Our show is somewhere between probably 18 to 25 minutes because we're on Plus now, so
right.
We're not constrained
right. So
to
no
the TV clock.
Too, right?
Yeah.
So 25 minutes of show time is looking at like 40.
Yeah.
Like, so you're about two-thirds ours, right?
Yep.
Because I think our total time, runtime, TRT, it's called in the business, pulling back the curtain there, is like 42.
Yeah.
So you're at 25, so yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, and you guys are one sport.
Yes, you have a lot more to cover than we do.
Right, so I don't think it's going to be tough to fill.
No.
Actually, I thought it was. I was kind of a little scared, but because we have so many people and we do DFS, right? And, I mean, there's a term we throw around a lot in SportsCenter or whatever called treatment. So let's say Bryce Harper chooses the Phillies. What's the treatment of that? Do you do a montage of his best plays? Whatever. Like, do you do the top 10 at the end of the show, his top 10 moments with the Nationals? Do you do Jeff Passan off the top of why it happened? Or do you run Bryce Harper's sound? And then where do you put in the show what's next for the Phillies? Are they done adding people? Are they going to get Keuchel? And, you know, there's like so many ways and angles of presentation of that material. Because, look, it's 2019. By the time people are watching SportsCenter at night, they know that Bryce Harper chose the Phillies.
Yep.
But the question is the how and the why. And sort of what does it mean? Not what happened, but what does it mean moving forward? So contextually, that's how SportsCenter approaches things. And for us, it's what does this mean for bettors? So we will introduce the news because it'll be like it would have happened at 4 p.m., I think, on a day like last week. So, you know, it's 6 p.m. when we're on. We'll mention it, maybe quick mention of the terms, 13 years, three, right? Like we won't, and then we won't care. That's it. Like we don't care why he chose the Phillies.
Exactly.
Unless he said, I plan to hit 50 bombs a year. Then that matters because there's home run totals and over-unders. Instead, it's what's next for the Phillies? Are they going to go get pitching? What about bullpen help? And or what's the GM saying? If the GM said something alarming to Jeff Passan, hey, we're in a win-now mode. For us, it's division or bust, and I will do whatever it takes this season for trades to get us over the hump and win the division, then that's pertinent. So we're going to have guys like Jeff Passan and Kirkchen and Buster in that space, and then also all the other sports, like Tim Legler in a rehearsal yesterday did a touchscreen. And I think the key is to find actionable content those guys can do for bettors. And what is that actionable content? Well, I think for teams like the Lakers and the Celtics going into yesterday before they looked great, it's maybe from our reporters on site to relay what they observe from a chemistry standpoint or what's the bounce in their step. So teams that are around them every day have a reference point of when things were good. And how do they look now? If it's the same, that's a story. If it's not the same, that's also a story, obviously. So
yep.
I think our team of people that our viewers are used to seeing are credible guys, like our analysts like Jay Will, Legler, and all the other dudes, are going to be have a place in our show. Maybe not as big of a place, maybe not a four-minute segment, but a quick hit, things like that. And we will take that and put it into the show and incorporate it all. So that's why, yeah, I'm hosting it, but there's like so much. It's a SportsCenter. It's a solo SportsCenter through the lens of betting. But what's nice, I'm going to have a voice of opinion as well because we get to pick games and discuss games.
Which is great. We had a lot of listeners that actually reached out, or viewers that reached out to Matthew and I on Twitter with some ideas for the show. Hey, I think it'd be cool if you guys did this. And we've actually incorporated some of those because we found that idea. Hey, this could be really cool, actually. Why don't we try doing something like that? And we even implemented it into the show. So I don't know. What is it? Your Twitter handle is at Doug ESPN, correct?
At Doug ESPN. And Dopp, yours is?
Mine is at Daniel Dopp.
What about Squirrel?
No, I tried Secret Squirrel is like a cold brew coffee brand. And also it's the name of the NSA's, that's their Twitter handle for some stuff they have. So, you know, it is what it is.
Not strong overlap with all three of those avenues.
Exactly.
but I also plan to get you guys involved as well. I mean, I know there's, some overlap. I mean, there's overlap, and I know it's not a huge overlap, but I think there's a space for everybody to get along. We're all in this together.
100%.
And I do think, as we wrap things up and get to Murray, that it's a case of if you build it, they will come. Like,
yeah.
I really think there's some people, and naturally, that are apprehensive about their brand going on a gambling show. Maybe someone who works tight with commissioners or whatever are some of our, I don't even want to throw anyone to the bus because I've never heard any negative, But if someone's like the NCAA guy or football guys, whatever.
Yep.
And I don't even want to throw, you know, I'm just think of our biggest names. They may be like, what? Because, you know, you may have this vision that it's a tout show or 900 numbers going to be scrolling on the bottom.
Exactly.
And it's not. It's just going to be. Now, what's really cool, maybe the best part, is, you know, the compression graphic for the NFL draft, that yep. L-shaped thing. We're going to have that with betting odds.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's just going to be, for all of us who have the short attention spans, us gamblers who need stimulation, it's going to be perfect.
It'll be awesome. Can't wait, man.
I'm fired up. And speaking of unable to wait, let's get to Mr. Director John Murray.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Been a while since we rocked that. The humor doesn't fade away, Mr. Director.
You still think it's funny? It's been almost a year since we've rolled that out. Still, huh?
Are you suggesting it doesn't to you?
No. I think it's funny. It's funny. It's definitely a lot of people that I know find it amusing. I can tell you that much.
Good, because I certainly do. It's funny that, you know, we'll even be in a group text with someone who's hearing it for the first time, like, you know, months after it's been introduced. And they'll be like, man, that thing's hilarious. So good Does that it, people are still getting that, like, you know, raw reaction.
Are you ever bothered when one of our mutual friends is like, hey, man, I listen to your guys' podcast. It's good. And I'd be like, dude, we've been doing that podcast for years. You just now listen to this thing for the first time? I thought you were a friend of mine.
We just care that they download and subscribe and rate and review. I don't care if they listen. I really don't. Although they're missing out winners. I through proxy, I gave out your Usman pick.
I love that.
And I did a tribute to you. I did a tribute to the Westgate.
Oh, great. Yeah, I love that play. I was at the fight Saturday. Not a very exciting fight, but it was exactly what we were rooting for. The guys I was with, we all bet Usman pretty heavily. And it was a very good result for the Superbook. We took some very large bets on Tyron Woodley. So that was just an across-the-board, worked out perfectly for me.
Usually I hijack and don't footnote. And I just say, you know, I kind of lean here. But, yeah, I had to give credit where credit was due.
It was a good one. You know, the price actually steamed up against us at the end. It was funny because there was a lot of sharp money on Usman, but the price actually came back up right before the fight, and then Usman went out and handled it exactly how I thought he would. So it was a little strange. It's always a little uncomfortable when you see the market rejecting it like that. There's no doubt about that. But the fight itself played out exactly how I thought it would.
Yeah, sometimes the market's wrong. Like when I kind of liked Kansas at Oklahoma minus -1.5 and went closed 2.5. I'm thinking I'm on the right side of a move, and yeah, not close.
No, that was not a good one. Tough year for Kansas. Kansas, finally, the streak is over. But still a pretty impressive achievement to go. I think you have to go back to 2005 to find the last time they didn't win the Big 12.
And I think they're the worst record in D1 against the spread on the road. And sure enough, I lay points on the road. Any other sharp plays moving forward for our loyal listeners and even our friends that are listening for the first time?
We're talking about college basketball futures, or
let's talk college hoops, futures, whatnot, whatever you got for us. We'll take anything.
I mean, the thing that Ed Sammons and I are finding amusing right now in college basketball is no matter what we do with Duke, people keep betting on Duke, even though it looks like they're just nowhere near the same team with an injured or without Zion Williamson, and there's no guarantee that when he comes back into the lineup he's going to be 100%, right? So even since that injury, we've had two large $10,000 bets on Duke at +2.25. We've had to knock Duke back down to 2-1. So I think, if anything, this is creating some value around the board on some other schools.
That's idiotic to me. I actually taped a podcast yesterday and posted today, and in terms of moving forward, big picture, I said one thing I'm definitely going to be doing is fading Duke every game. They're not the same without Zion, but really they just can't shoot. So I have 5-1 on Duke, and I'm not even happy about it. So the fact that people are betting +225, knowing that Zion Williamson is hurt and they can't shoot, is just silly to me. There's just such value. Now, I think they've covered more than not, which is rare for a public team, but I still, like, I just don't think this team is very good, and they've hit kind of that proverbial wall, especially without Williamson.
Well, I like Virginia. I've been saying all along that I think Virginia is right there as one of the best teams in the country. Maybe, in my mind, they're the best team in the country. Now, that game in Charlottesville a few weeks ago, Duke just could not miss from three. But I'm chalking that up as kind of a fluke. And that was before the Williamson injury. So I really think Virginia, not much value here at 6-1. The value's probably gone on Virginia. We had them as high as 20-1 earlier in the season. But I think they're a team to really keep an eye on. Very, very well-coached team. Obviously, they have a history of choking in the tournament. We'll see if they can finally break through this season.
I actually think that's going to use it to their advantage, right? Like, I think losing that in that 116 game a year ago, I think they're going to be, you know, a sense of urgency, you would assume. And here's a stat for you that I imagine you're going to enjoy. On the road against the spread in the last 2 years, Virginia, 20-3.
Wow.
They've covered 20 of 23, and usually they're laying points, right? They're covering as a road favorite most of the time. I mean, it's just 20-3.
And they just crush people. I mean, that game on, what was that, Monday night against Syracuse, where I think they were losing early in the second half. They ended up winning the game by 20-some points. But speaking of Virginia, Syracuse, I thought that might have been the biggest choke of the Virginia-Tony Bennett era, that Elite Eight game. You remember that game where they were a huge favorite against Syracuse? Syracuse really had no business getting that far that season. Virginia with a double-digit lead in the second half, and they just gave the game away. Syracuse ended up going to the Final Four. I think that was in 2016. So even though everyone's going to point to that Maryland-Baltimore County loss, and they should, Virginia's had a few other times where they really blew it in March.
Side note, let's talk a quick NBA path here. What's been the handle on Laker games given this demise?
Well, the Lakers are still probably our most popular bet on NBA. Not necessarily betting on the Lakers, but their games are usually the most popular. Them and the Warriors remain the most popular. But I haven't seen that much in the game pools. It was that playoff yes-no prop. We got a ton of run for that, guys. I mean, that people were betting that like crazy. A lot of two-way action. We're going to end up doing very well, though, when they don't make the playoffs, because before the season, we had a guy bet $50,000 on them at -$5 to make the playoffs. So we're going to end up doing pretty well on
that one. You might win that one.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks like they're not going to make the postseason. And there was a lot of money on that. A lot of people bet the Lakers to win the title. We took a lot of bets on the Lakers. That one prop we talked about in the summer, will the Lakers win the title in the next four seasons? We took some big bets on that prop as well. So not that we win that one this year. But my point is that we're taking a lot of money on the Lakers every which way. And it looks like it's all going to go up in flames. They're just a mess.
Well, in the past, you've said that the public is a bigger fan of their wallet than they are of their teams, right? That's the quote you use. So given that they've been so bad, I mean, look, them and the Warriors are the worst teams against the spread the entire season in the NBA. So have they flipped? Like, are they laying the Nuggets big tonight?
I haven't really seen anything on the game tonight, to tell you the truth. Nothing yet. I mean, there's just a little bit of money in there. But I would expect by the time that game tips off, you're going to have a combination of Nuggets minus the points bets and Lakers money line bets. Some people will continue to believe in LeBron James and the Lakers, but from what I've seen of them the last few games, there's just nothing to like there. LeBron is not playing well, obviously. I think he's still hurt. They've got some other injuries they're dealing with. There's no effort whatsoever on the defensive end of the floor from the Lakers. I mean, how often do you see another team just drive right to the basket for an uncontested layup?
It's pretty bad right now. I don't see how you can bet on them the rest of the year. I mean, I'm going to fade them every game. Like, I'm done. Like, I bet the Celtics second half last night because it just looked like the Warriors were dead. But the Warriors are almost an automatic fade as well. I'm just scared of their firepower. The Lakers don't even have the firepower because LeBron's overweight. He's not fully recovered from the groin injury. And there's just dysfunction, and Luke Walton's a dead man walking. So the Warriors are different. It's straight apathy, but at least they have the firepower and can flip the switch. Now, last night they didn't have Klay Thompson. They just all looked fatigued from the road trip. So it was different. But I think the Lakers are an automatic fade the rest of the way.
Well, the Warriors don't care about the regular season, let's be honest.
But once in a while they do, so I'm always scared of that.
Yeah. But, you know, we talked about this a lot last summer, dude, about the Lakers, or specifically about LeBron James. If this guy wanted to keep winning, if this guy wanted to win another championship, he should have gone to Philadelphia. If he signed with Philadelphia, he'd be on his way to his ninth consecutive NBA Finals right now. A lot of the pressure would be off. A lot of the load would be shouldered by Embiid, by Simmons. Sure. Instead, he decides to go to Los Angeles because he wants to you know, be a movie star, do TV shows. Now he's on a basketball team that, frankly, is not very good, and he's not 25 years old anymore, and he can't drag them all the way to the finals like he could in Cleveland or in Miami. So this is all – this is what he signed up for, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And he should be ready for it because this is what the next few years are going to look like.
I think the best tweet of the year I saw yesterday, it was a female, tweeted at LeBron. She said, "Don't worry, LeBron. I'm also a 9.5 in Cleveland, but a 6 in L.A."
Well, he, you know, also he was like 23 in Cleveland and 34 in L.A. And I think that's the biggest difference for LeBron. I'm not going to speak to that young lady, of course, but I think that's the biggest difference for LeBron is he's not a kid anymore. He doesn't have a very good team around him. He does not have a good coach around him. And he can't just drag his team. I don't know how he dragged that team to the finals last year.
Well, I'll play a little devil's advocate. I will say this. Not that the NBA is a two-month season, but at Christmas, they won at Oracle. They were playing pretty well. They're about the three or the four seed. Yeah. And he had never been hurt before. If we're talking like Westbrook or someone like that, like that's to be expected. But literally, the guy was a cyborg his entire career. He has played great. And like, I just don't think – look, it's the first injury he's ever had of serious consequence. I don't think he trusts his body. I think it scared him a little bit. I think he came back not in shape, obviously. So I would love to know, and obviously we don't have a placebo effect, but what he would look like and that team would look like if he never got hurt.
Well, let me clarify one thing. If LeBron doesn't get hurt, the Lakers would have absolutely made the playoffs this year. So while everybody is trying to explain the Lakers' disaster of a season, it's very simple. If LeBron never gets injured, the Lakers would make the playoffs. I don't think they would have done anything in the playoffs, but they would have at least made it to the postseason this year.
Well, but maybe the Davis trade rumors do surface, even if he's healthy, and that could have derailed them a little bit. So, I mean, look,
I think they would have still made the postseason, but I know what you're saying.
And the Celtics... ultimately, that's what caused this, right? So Danny Ainge, I said it on sports radio a year ago. I wish I actually incorporated that into my analysis of their season win total. But at some point, there is a human component to things. Danny Ainge cannot operate in a vacuum and treat his players like widgets, especially when the Celtics' competitive advantage was chemistry. So all those dudes played above their means. They played hard. They loved the game, all that stuff. And so you can get away with like one time of trading Isaiah Thomas, but the more you tend to flip these guys, it's like a company that has layoffs, right? You're going to impact your employees. The mood of your corporate culture is going to change. It is not a vacuum. They're not widgets. So when the Celtics sort of calling card was chemistry and you disrupt that and these guys read the headlines and they're young, they haven't gone through this before, and a guy like Jason Tatum, his growth is going to be inhibited because he thought he was a Celtic for life. And now he hears, like, these guys aren't immune to this. So Danny Ainge, I think, passed the tipping point, and that's what ultimately affected these guys on top of all the allegations of Kyrie Irving's selfishness.
I completely agree with you, and I'll pile onto that Kyrie Irving statement you just made. I think Boston looks like a better team when he's not in the lineup. Seems like when he's not out there, they share the ball more. They've got better chemistry. They seem to play better without him, even though he's probably the best player on the team. So it's a very strange situation in Boston. I think it's a harder team to really describe why they're doing so poorly than L.A. L.A. is pretty simple. LeBron got hurt. LeBron's an old man, so they're not that good. The Lakers are pretty easy to explain.
Well, yeah, and the Kyrie, look, I've talked to a few people. Some people think it's a one-off and was more the Warriors just being apathetic. But the fact that the Kyrie's comments post-game, when he talked about, hey, you got to find the hot hand. My job, it's not always going to be me. Some guys got it going, like Gordon Hayward did last night. And I think if he could just channel that and say all the right things and actually implement that philosophy, they'd be almost unbeatable. He's great. He's their best player, and if he understands the concept of making his teammates better, they're going to be great. And it's just this, it's classic. Anyone who's played pickup basketball, if everyone feels like they're a part of it, they're going to be more engaged on the defensive end, right? It's a team concept, and they want to be able to play with each other. And before last night, they weren't wanting to play with Kyrie.
I think Kyrie is going to get a bad reputation because, I mean, this is a guy that went from playing alongside LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time, wins a championship with him, doesn't like that, gets traded. He could have really been traded anywhere. And it was just good fortune on his part that he was traded to one of the most talented young teams in the league, and now he's not happy there. So I mean, where can this guy go where he's going to be happy? I think he's going to turn off a lot of people unless he rights this ship. But, you know, one thing to keep in mind about Boston, if they can get into the Eastern Conference semifinals and beat Milwaukee or beat Toronto and get back to the Eastern Finals, all these regular season struggles will be completely forgotten.
For sure. And I'm just curious because other guys really think the Celtics could go. One sharp guy texted me, he thinks they'll go on like a 9-1 run right now because he thinks they've sort of like flipped the switch in that plane ride, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What's your take?
Well, I don't ever want to put too much stock into one NBA regular season game. I say that all the time. So I don't want to just say, based on one performance last night, oh, it looks like Boston has figured everything out. But they certainly have enough talent to go on a 9-1 run, and I'm still a big believer in Brad Stevens. I think you already hit the nail on the head, though. Kyrie needs to play within the offense a little bit more, share the ball a little bit more. He doesn't need to play hero ball. He's got a lot of talented players around him. If he gets them more involved, Boston definitely the deepest team in the Eastern Conference. There's no reason why they can't get to the finals against the Warriors.
And just as a sports fan, let alone an NBA fan or better, like it was nice to see Gordon Hayward kind of like look like the old Hayward, pre-injury Gordon Hayward.
I agree. I mean, and he's obviously a very talented player. Jason Tatum is a guy that has superstar potential. They've got some really good role players there. You're talking about a team that was one home game away from the finals last year with Irving and Hayward both on the bench with injuries. I mean, the talent is there. They need Kyrie to play within the offense, and I definitely think they could go on a run, but I'm not basing that off of just seeing one win last night. I think you can throw any one regular season NBA game out the window.
I botched the hosting responsibility I had and didn't compartmentalize. Let's go back to college basketball because we side-veered because I was so curious about it, my quest to get that information. Any more college hoops future? I know there's some sharp bets on Texas Tech of late. Anything else?
Texas Tech, you nailed it. Texas Tech, I mean, we had guys betting them at as high as 200-1 earlier in the year. We're down to 20-1 on Texas Tech.
Wow.
Obviously, they're an extremely well-coached team by Chris Beard. They're going to be very dangerous in March. And I would say of the teams that can realistically win the national championship, right now they are our biggest loser in the future pool. We're in a good spot on all these other teams. Take a small loss on Tennessee, a small loss on North Carolina, but nothing major at all. So really, we're in very good shape if you throw Texas Tech out. Purdue is a team we would lose some money on. We've got them at 30-1, but I don't believe
you're okay
that
there.
Coach. Yeah, I mean,
you're
that,
be
that
okay.
coach
you're gonna be
that
okay.
coach isn't winning anything. Chris Beard is a scary coach. Chris Beard is a coach that could string together six wins, but we're in
Painter's
really good shape.
Bad?
On
I just think it's a team that replaced four starters, and they just not that good.
I just don't think anything of Painter,
gotcha.
Me personally. But no, I think you're also right about that. So we're in a good spot in college hoops this season. Duke is just a small, very small winner. We had it up to where we were winning a decent amount on them, and then we just kept taking all these big bets on them at +2.25. So we had to go down to 2-1. But they're still a winner for us. And Gonzaga is a good win. Virginia is a good win. Michigan State, Michigan are both good winners, so we're in a good spot.
I mean, you mentioned Texas Tech. It's a sport that lends itself to long shots paying.
Yeah, well, yeah, it does, because, I mean, this is definitely a sport where the favorite is not necessarily going to win. It's not like the NBA where the favorite wins almost every time. When you've got a one-off tournament format like this, anybody's capable of getting hot and winning a national – I mean, not anybody's capable of winning a national championship, but anybody's capable of making a deep run in this tournament – especially if the bracket breaks for them the way it did for, say, Michigan last year, where just the sea parted for Michigan and they got all the way to the national championship game.
Yeah, I mean, Loyola Chicago, even when they reached the Final Four, the yes-no prop was pretty steep. But I think Michigan, to your point, is a better example. Teams that would actually have a reasonable yes-no that you could actually play out of, aside from Loyola Chicago, which was just never going to reward itself. Although the odds, the long shot odds were huge.
Yeah, if Michigan, you can never really get a bracket to break that well for you as it did for Michigan last year. But my point is, in this one-game scenario, a lot of teams can be dangerous. And certainly with Zion Williamson hurt, there's nobody that's that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, I'm, you know, we got to see Duke when he gets back, but I'm not even sold on Duke. I'm really not. There's never been a team in the last 30 years, I want to say, and I'm going to butcher this stat, but the gist is accurate. Last 30 years, A team that shoots 32% or worse from three is not one at all in college basketball.
Really? Huh. Yeah, and I really like Virginia, man. I've been sticking with them all year. I know they got swept by Duke, which I think made a lot of people write them off, but not write them off, but you know, put them a rung below Duke, maybe a rung below Gonzaga.
Well, there's people, especially last year, just writing them off.
Because of the loss last year?
Well, just, their style. It's not conducive to winning six games. They don't have enough offense. Things like that. I mean, and then, obviously, how can you not remember the 16 seed beating them?
Oh, I don't think I'll ever forget that one. That was an interesting night at the sports book.
All right. Well, you teased it. What was it like at the sports book?
Oh, we had the guy, the one kid in the, the Terrier's Head? Was that their mascot? The Loyola Maryland?
The Terrier. UMBC.
Maryland Baltimore County. Excuse me. Sorry, Maryland. Yeah, they're the one kid in the Terrier's mascot being carried around by his friends. And it was, and that was at the end of the night. I mean, I know you've been out here for a few March Madnesses, DK. So by the end of the night, the crowd has had a few beverages.
That was not me in the mask, by the way, in case you were.
No, I never accused you. I'm just saying that.
Was it Ed Sammons? Was it Ed in a different mask?
No. Ed Sammons is more of an NFL guy.
So he's just the dog mask.
College hoops guy. Yeah, the dog mask, sure. He's more of an NFL guy. He's texting me right now about the NFL draft prop we put up yesterday. We put up who will be the first overall pick.
What is the odds on Kyler Murray and everything?
It's changing like in real time as we tape this show. I think we settled on -175 right now for Kyler Murray. But Twitter just goes nuts with these rumors about who's going to be the first pick or this trade or that. And I think at this time last year we thought Sam Darnold was probably going to be the first pick.
For sure.
So a lot can change between now and April 24th for sure, but there certainly are a lot of reports right now that Kyler Murray's in a good spot. Yeah, -175.
Do you really think he's going to go number one?
I don't myself. I think it's a smokescreen, but I didn't think Baker Mayfield would go number one last year. So I don't know. I mean, it's just pure speculation. I don't believe it.
I don't either. I don't think Kingsbury's going to have a say at all, because he's a rookie coach. That was Stanford Steve. I was talking to him yesterday. That was his opinion. But maybe the owner's enamored with him. It's not just Kingsbury that has to be enamored, right? It could be the owner. So
you're telling me there's a chance?
There is a chance.
Seems like he's too small to play quarterback in the NFL, DK. I mean, that's really my take. But who knows? I mean, the NFL is changing all the time. Maybe he is the next great NFL quarterback.
Charlie Casserly of NFL Network had some pretty interesting comments.
I saw that. I did see that. But like we opened it yesterday. We opened it -140, and the first bet we took, a guy bet to win three dimes on Murray -140. So at some point you have to just respond to the money that you're seeing, no matter what you think.
Would you classify that a sharp play that you've received?
Guy, I've never seen the name before. Okay. So I don't really want to say. I don't know who that is.
Gotcha. All right, man. Anything else to share with us, Mr. Director?
Just some a few quick notes I can run through on baseball. I mean, we put up all the baseball futures a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And, I know everybody always wants to hear sharp bets. I mean, we took money right away on Mike Trout to win the MVP. We had a guy bet 4,000 at 3-1, another guy bet 5,000 at 2-1. So we're all the way down to even money on Mike Trout.
And that's a sharp guy. That's a sharp guy that bet those.
Yeah, those guys are – both of those guys actually are guys that I respect. So, yes, I would call them sharp.
Would you respect anyone betting Trout at even money right now?
At even money before the season started? I don't know that I could possibly sign off on that. Even 2-1 to me is a little crazy. There's a lot of good players in the American League, but the guy that made the bet is a guy that has a track record, so I respect him. If it was somebody else, I wouldn't look at it, give it a second look. But that guy is a pretty sharp guy.
I'd almost call someone an idiot if they bet even money.
Well, before the season starts, I mean, you've got all these other players in the AL, all the guys on Houston, the stud players on the Yankees, the stud players on the Red Sox. I know Francisco Lindor's banged up, but to say that he even money before the season even begins does seem a little crazy.
The last time I said that, that's when I said, you're an idiot if you bet Brady to win the MVP. Now, after that, the money line for the Pats went up, and you guys actually juiced your Brady MVP odds. Then things changed. But at the time, I was like, it's just getting too cute. Now, Trout, I bet you this, you're going to probably be able to get better than even money on it.
Yeah, at some point. I mean, unless the first month of the year he just goes nuts. I mean, I have to think that at some point. And I also think that if I'm the Angels, if I ran the Angels, not to go too far off topic on you guys, but the Angels really need to look into trading Mike Trout before they just lose him in free agency. They're not going to win anything with this team as they're constructed. So, I think he's a free agent at the end of the 2020 season. They should be looking to get what would probably be a huge package of players and prospects back for him.
Hold on a thing. So,
are you saying that the New York Giants model of just let all your superstars walk and not get anything from them is not a smart thing?
I don't know what the Giants are doing. I can't believe they're going to let Landon Collins walk out the door. Isn't he like the best player on their team?
They have Saquon Barkley, so that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah, no, a running back will really save the day for you. But, no, I just think that if I'm the Angels, I'd look to trade him right away, because if you wait till next year, he's a free agent after that season, so certainly the trade value is going to go down, right? And they're not going to win anything with this team. They're not going to beat the Astros in the AL West. They don't have the pitching to seriously contend. So what are they holding on to?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that's not going into the weeds, because the season win total for the Angels is 82.5. And I know baseball goes outside the box with its postseason awards, with its regular season awards. So he can win MVP without winning the division. But if they're under 500, and obviously their win total is 82.5, so it's certainly possible, that I would say suggest that hurts his MVP candidacy, right? If they don't, I'm not saying it excludes him, it just hurts him. And that
it
is something
should.
To keep in mind. Now, he's been the favorite. This is now the seventh straight year that he's the betting favorite for the American League MVP. And of the previous six, he won two of them. So, yeah. I mean, that track record is, I mean, he's in the discussion from the start, and it's understandable, but I just don't think you can justify betting even money.
I agree with you, and we don't like the Angels here at the Superbook. We've been riding money on them over. We've been booking to need the under on the Angels. We got some other teams in the West we like better, and we just don't think that they've got the pitching to seriously do anything. It should impact his MVP candidacy. You're definitely right, but he did win it. I think that was in 16, unless I'm getting my years confused. It was either 16 or 17. He won the MVP over Mookie Betts when they didn't make it to the postseason. So it's something that is possible.
Yeah, no, he won the MVP in 2014 and 2016. And, you know, they've just been obviously bad. Again, this kind of basically is like if you hit on 16 against a 5 and pull a 5, doesn't mean you made the right decision. It just means it worked out, but it wasn't like a value play. I mean, the Angels won 74 games that year that he won the MVP. But it doesn't help your chances. If there's someone like last year's Betts or Martinez, then they're going to win it and win the tiebreaker, I guess. The team kind of record wins the tiebreaker. But we'll table that for now. Anything else jumping out? You said you had some sharp plays from baseball?
Really quickly, we took a bet on Chris Sale to win the Cy Young at 4-1, which I thought was interesting because, you know, he doesn't usually get enough innings to be the Cy Young. Can I say that? And then some long shot guys. Corey Seager, your guy, 40-1 to win the NL MVP. And my guy, Mad Max Scherzer, 100-1 to win the NL MVP. So keep an eye on the Nationals. I think the Nationals are still going to be – I mean, I know I'm a fan. I got a bias there. But I think the Nationals are still going to be very good this year, even without Bryce Harper. They bring up Victor Robles, another year of Juan Soto. I think the Nationals are going to be just fine.
Yeah, and I like that Seager play, 40-1, if he's fully recovered from Tommy John. I mean, they're obviously going to be a contender. I don't believe in Bellinger personally, but Pollock should be good for them, and I think Seager's the guy.
And I can tell you we're also booking a couple other win totals. We're booking the White Sox to need the over. We like their young talent. And we're booking the Red Sox to need the under on Boston. We like the Yankees better than Boston this year. Expect the Red Sox to take a step back. I'm not going out on a limb there saying that. I'm just pointing it out. We're booking that one to need the under.
Yeah, and I'm surprised how much attention the Yankees over the Reds. I mean, look, Yankees got a lot of injuries last year. I like the Paxton addition.
Me too.
And the Red Sox bullpen's terrible and natural regression. I interviewed your colleague, Randy Blum, for the piece I wrote for .com, and he made all these valid points, and it's not like there was like a 9-win gap between the totals. It's 2 wins.
I got to point out, Randy Blum, extremely knowledgeable baseball guy, shameless New York Yankees homer from the Bronx. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, but I will say I do agree with Randy. I like the Yankees better. I like the Paxton signing. I think Torres is a future MVP, and I definitely think that Boston should take a step back from a season in which everything went perfectly for them. So I like the Yankees in the AL East.
And I should mention that Randy wore that Yankees T-shirt in the the Sports Center piece that I did for the Superbook prop bets.
Yeah, that is not a surprise. I can tell you that Yankee
wardrobe there.
A shameless homer along the lines of Ed Sammons with the Eagles and Jeff Sherman with the Lakers. Just no shame in their game, DK.
Where's your shame? Where's your shameless?
I think I just mentioned in the last 2 minutes that I like the Nationals this year.
Because you're just a dejected Redskins fan.
I don't care about the Redskins. I don't think any Redskins fan still care about that team. I mean, I don't care. I mean, there's nothing to root for there. But I do think the Nationals, that's a very competitive NL East. You've got four teams that I think are going in there with an expectation of getting to the postseason. The Mets, if their pitching stays healthy, of course. But I do think the Nationals are going to be better than people think. If you write them off just because Bryce is gone, I think you're making a big mistake.
That is fair. Mr. Director, we always appreciate the insight and the humor and the wisdom. You are a Renaissance man. Thank you very much, lad.
I appreciate you guys having me on, man. And thanks for the Kamaru Usman shout-out. I appreciate that one. That was one that was a big play for me. I was very happy with that.
I get a lot of sharp plays. I steal others. I like to footnote you.
I appreciate it, man. Steal from the other guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm an aggregator. That's what I am. Yeah. All right, but my man, we'll talk soon.
All right, fellas. Take care. Kicking is for losers.
All right, that wraps up the podcast with Mr. Director Dopp. Did you enjoy all of our degenerate discussions?
I loved it. The only thing that I didn't agree with is when he talked about not being an excited Redskins fan. How are you not excited about Colt McCoy potentially being your starting quarterback in 2019?
I have another close friend who's a Redskins fan. He's like, I'm trying to figure out a way that the Redskins win the Super Bowl without Dan Snyder, like getting credit or anything. He's like, I'm all about the Redskins without Dan Snyder. But you know what? I'm actually a big Colt McCoy guy, but I think it's like getting 10.5 points.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's not necessarily like a Pro Bowler.
Right.
Or a future Hall of Famer, but I think he's better than people realize. I like to throw out bad situation. Like, I don't think he got a fair look at Cleveland when he was there. I think the Browns were terrible. But with that being said, I kind of ate a little crow this year because I was really excited when he went and got the start over Alex Smith when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't very good.
Well, there's not a lot of playmakers on that offense. And Darius Geis coming back, I mean, you got to see if that's
right.
I mean, that's a serious injury for him to come back from. So there's not a lot for Colt to work with, unfortunately.
A lot of O-line issues there.
Yeah.
Not a lot to work with.
Other than that, it was great. Love being able to sit in and just beat like a little fly on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a ton of positive feedback from the podcast. Our listeners are awesome, very loyal. Kai obviously retired because my loss in Baby Bankroll Bonanza paid for everything, his vacation.
100%.
So, yeah, he doesn't need a paycheck anymore because I lost so much money in Baby Bankroll Bonanza. So, I'm paying for, basically dependents now.
Right.
And it's good. So I'm just going to have to gamble a lot more on some of these sharp plays. Continue to fade Duke.
That's right.
I'm not going to maybe fade him against Carolina. I think there's better spots like Wake yesterday. But in the conference tournament, I think neutral court, I think you're going to get double digits with some ugly dogs in that first round. So we'll see, man. It's going to be fun with the show launching, and we're excited and appreciate everyone's loyal viewership and listenership throughout the years. And this is just kind of the next step for us.
I love it, man. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Exactly. Dopp, good to have you on board. And really, I'm now part of your show because you are the celebrity here.
Oh, stop
it. The squirrel. What is it? The
secret squirrel. Yeah.
Okay. All right, bud. Well, nice of Matthew Berry to share you. And we're all in this together.
That's right.
And let's go win some money, fellas.
I'm down.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.